I'm Lindsay with Wild Root Flower Company.
And I'm Shannon from Bloom Hill Farm. Over the last 6 years, we've leaned on each other as we grew our farms into the profitable six-figure farms they are today.
We want you to join us each week as we have real, honest conversations about life and business. And we promise you'll leave feeling inspired and your farming toolbox will be filled with actionable strategies you can implement at any stage in your business.
Learn from our mistakes as we talk business, marketing, and growing techniques to help you create the farm of your dreams.
So let's roll up our sleeves
and get the dirt on flowers.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. It's Friday.
Yay.
We made it to Friday.
Oh, another one.
I know. Another one in the books. I got some, well, you know this, but I got some really good results back from my pathology.
Yes.
And so I feel like I feel a little more energized now because I have been feeling just, it's been really hard to not know sort of like the course of what my treatment's going to be. And so to sort of have that information, I mean, waiting on this basically since September. Yeah. And so to get to have it and I feel like I can plan. So I'm feeling more energized and excited for the season. I know.
That's good. Me too. Well, it's hard when you have this like freaking black cloud looming over you.
Right.
Until you get some more info.
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah. Yes. I've got a couple more surgeries to go, but I feel like in comparison to, you know, what was sort of looming over, you know, that was a really exciting piece for me and a lot of fear still, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, emotionally that you go through on the backside of all of this, but it's been interesting to be in a place of just complete unknown. And how do you operate life in that way and like running a business? And I know it's one of the things I've said to you over and over again, where I'm just like, how do I plan? Like, how do you plan? And it's like, I don't know. You just, you know, the conclusion we came to was like, you just plan.
You just have to do it.
Yeah. Because it's, you really have no way of knowing anyway. And it's just, it was really easy for me to be in this place of feeling paralyzed. Or a victim to my situation where it was like, well, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't part of the plan. And feeling, you know, I felt a little robbed of life. And it's like, well, that's a really crappy way to look at it because I'm not being robbed of my life. Like it just looks different than what I thought it was going to. So I feel like I do have a little pep in my step now that I've got
a little
extra
control because it's hard to feel out of control. I think that is one of the most debilitating feelings.
Yeah.
It's just feeling out of control.
Yeah.
And as business owners, we're very in control. You know, every decision
we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that would be just a tough. I admire the way that you handled this so much. So
thank you.
You're doing so great. And the good news made my day, my week, my month.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
And it's just, you know, this constant roller coaster, but I feel like very fortunate, very grateful. I know a lot of you have asked and we just went to dinner or lunch. How about breakfast? We just went to breakfast. Sean and I did. And somebody said, I love seeing you back on social media. And I was just like, it was very sweet, you know, I was like, thank you. And I want to show up on social media and be authentic, but there's also like a real person that's behind the business and trying to feel like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're doing so great. And I'm like, I am. But there's also like the side you don't see too that's, you know, trying to navigate all of that and have a business too. It's been the most challenging thing I've ever gone through in my life. So, but very, very grateful. And the sun's been shining here and I know, I'm feeling like, holy cow, man, spring.
I got a sunburn.
You did?
I legit got a sunburn.
In the high tunnel or where?
Yeah. You know, we're splitting tubers and okay. Judd's my detail guy. I like the details on certain things, but he's getting sick of splitting tubers, but it's just him and I this year. Literally, I was like, the greenhouse walls are closing in on me because we sit in our little prop house and we split tubers. That's like but I'm like, Judd, if I have to step foot in that greenhouse today, I'm going to scream. Well, I use like a skin tint that is a sunscreen. And I was just having a day and I forgot to put it on.
Yeah.
And I literally got sunburned in there because the sun was, you know, it was out. And I'm like, wow, I need to prepare myself for the season.
I mean, just your upper half, your legs never see the sun. They haven't seen sun since
never
2019. Right?
Yep. I do not wear shorts farming. Mm-mm. Nope.
Don't like things to touch her legs.
Nope.
She's fine with dirt between her toes because she wears Crocs.
Yeah, I'll let my feet out.
Oh, I have charms. I bought charms for you for your little Crocs. I got to send them to you.
You know what? I've been targeted on Instagram. You guys have to let me know if you've seen these, but maybe it's just me. But like fake toes that go in your Crocs. So it looks like
they're going to now. They're going to get targeted now because of you.
Yeah, what? I'm sorry about that.
You stick them in the holes?
Yeah, they're like Croc charms that they look like your toes are like sticking. They're fake toes. I'm like, why am I being targeted on this? I mean, clearly Crocs. But yeah, so my winter inappropriate footwear is these bootleg UGG boots that I got at Costco. And I've been wearing those every day.
Oh, so funny. Hey, I have a question. Is your underwear subscription the MeUndies? Is it an Australian thing?
I don't know. Is it?
So listen, my brother sent this video that is this guy who he's Australian and he's doing an interview with a news anchor and he's talking about how this guy basically did a hit and run and he stopped him.
Uh-huh.
And he's going on and talking. And he says something about like, he can't, he's like, and I was only out there in MeUndies. And then I was like, I wonder if it is.
It might be.
We need to look up because that's the only thing I think about was your underwear at that point. Like he was talking about being out there chasing him. But
yes. Yeah. Yes. I think today I'm wearing the llamas that are barfing rainbows.
Oh, I love that after that episode came out, our inbox was like, thanks, Shannon. I'm now getting targeted underwear ads.
I know.
On all of those.
Don't knock them till you try them. They're pretty comfy. They are pretty comfy.
My a friend of ours that's in my book club, she told my mom that she laughed listening to my list because she said, she got some expensive taste and she knows I got it from my mother.
Oh,
so I was like, I didn't have any low budget items. Although your John Deere Gator wasn't exactly cheap.
Really. Yes. But. Yeah. Oh, I had to laugh because we did like a giveaway in the insiders. So we gave away a few of our favorite items. Well, one of the girls who won, I sent her one, the simple modern cup, you know, that I use. But I could pick the colors, so I got her this like neon green color because I figure you could see it, you know, from anywhere. Far. We won't lose it in the field. Well, I sent her a note when I sent it. I'm like, hey, figured that you wouldn't lose this in the field. She thought that was like the funniest thing. It was so sweet. And she's like, oh my gosh, yes, I love it. I'm like, seriously, everything I have is pretty much neon now. That's Judd smart. Has neon phone cases, cups. Yeah. Anything that I can lose needs to be a hot color.
That's smart because I lost my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have an Apple Watch. The phone I lose all the time, but I lost it on the bird feeder one time. I like had filled the bird feeder and I just like set it up and was like resting it.
Yeah.
I think I went 6 hours and was like, I have no idea. And at the time I had an Apple Watch and I was like, oh, yeah, there's the find your phone feature.
Yes. But
yeah. That's really smart. Yeah. The neon.
Yeah,
piece.
Judd. Okay. Poor Judd's like rototilled his phone. Mm. He has run over it with a gator. He's just lost it. One time he lost his phone. We couldn't find it. We were like out at night searching the field, trying to find it, ringing it. And turns out it was like underneath my daughter's bed. Entire time. He was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, Judd's phone has to have 9 lives. Many replacements.
Do you ever set stuff down and subconsciously you're like, that's a really stupid place to put this?
I'm never going to remember that I set it here.
Never. So I'll lose something and I'm like, I know it's somewhere really dumb, but I don't know where that place is.
Yeah.
And my keys, I lose my keys just all the time. And and somebody said to me, I should get one of those little chips. What the heck are they called?
Oh, those air tags, like the air tags.
Yeah,
like
I forget what the name of it. Kind of. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I forget the heck the name of it is. But I wrote them back and I was like, I have one and the battery's dead. Like that's just how it works. Okay. So there's a solution, but then the battery dies and then here you are with your keys lost and whatever.
Yeah. I know. So we're just going in so many different directions.
We are.
It's true.
We are. Bless my girls for keeping me sane. They find my keys. They find
cups,
snips, everything, clothes, sweatshirts. And I always assume everything's mine. Like there's a sweatshirt laying around. I'm like, I'm sure that's mine. So I started labeling. Like I write my name on the inside of it because I steal people's clothing. Like whatever. But well, today we are talking about a really, I don't know, like a not fun topic for a lot of people, but it's something that everybody experiences, and that is fear. And we're talking about the 6 symptoms of fear in flower farming. And this winter, Shannon and I read a book, and we actually did a book club with the Insiders, called Be Seen by Jen Gottlieb. And it was a really easy read. Yeah. And this was like one of the pieces that came out of it. This something that sort of like stuck with me when I read it, because I feel like I resonated with it on every angle when she was talking about it. And so, you know, fear is something that's like completely normal that every single one of us deal with and isn't something necessarily that gets talked about all the time. I think when we think of fear, you think of like butterflies in your stomach or your sweaty palms, but there's like so many other ways that fear can show up in different, it's just like disguised by other, you know, emotions. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And just Shannon and I are going to, you know, be a little vulnerable with you and tell you where it shows up for us and how we navigate those things as business owners. And I think also as business owners, it shows up, I think, more for us because we're just badasses that are continually, we're naturally putting ourselves out there and putting ourselves in a position to push up against our comfort zone. And that's really when, you know, fear comes up because it's a natural response to any new situation, whether that's like, you know, whether you're starting a new job or trying a new avenue of business, anything, just starting a new business, you know, the natural fear's entire job is to keep you safe and keep you in that little comfort zone bubble. I've said it on here, but my sticker on the back of my 4Runner says comfort is a slow death. Mm-hmm. And I had another one at one point that said life begins where your comfort zone ends. And it's really true because it's like if you think back on the times that you've pushed yourself beyond that point of your comfort zone where you're like, man, this feels scary. Even the podcast for us, right? Yes. Like we had a lot of fear about starting it and doing it air quote right and all of those things that we've had to like navigate over the last couple of years. You know, I think we've all been there. You've opened up your social media app. You see another farm's open up next to you, or maybe your best friend's sister just bought the dream farm, or one of your friends bought a dream farm, you know, farmhouse that you want, or so-and-so's husband bought them a new car, you know, and you start to feel like, okay, am I like, what am I not doing right? Or I need to lose weight. I need Botox. I need all these things, whatever the heck the thing is that comes up for you. But it's because we're bombarded with everybody's curated social media feeds. Mm-hmm. And it's exhausting.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
I think we're so exposed as business owners.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I will never forget when Judd announced everybody way before I was ready to that we were starting a flower farm. I literally wanted to crawl in a hole and die. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't even know this man. Why is he here?
Flower farm. I don't like flowers.
Have fun. Okay. But if it were up to me, I wouldn't have even told anybody until I literally had a flower.
Yeah.
Surprise. A flower farm. But, and it holds us back. In hindsight, like, and I think we all have our own tolerances. Like Judd, has an easier time putting things out there. Like he has less fear because he doesn't care what people think about him at all.
It's because he's an Enneagram 8, people. We found out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I said this for a long time. I told you I didn't even have to take. He didn't have to take the quiz. I knew he was an 8, which is a really great. It's a really great quality to not care. He's a man, and no, he's an 8. Doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Rub elbows with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, we kind of have our yin and yang is that I overcare. I'm like an empath, and he doesn't care at all. You know, so it's easier for him to be out of his comfort zone. That makes more sense. He more logically thinks through things. I'm more reacting from my gut and off emotions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it all looks, it's going to look different for you. And there's different things. Like for me, telling my friends, like that was a huge step in my eyes. For him, it was like the easy thing. But yeah. I'm like, well, what do they think? I mean, listen, they were like, really? they were cautiously interested, you know, but, and then I would overanalyze the response clearly.
Right.
So, but it's going to look different for each of us. But I think what you have to practice, You have to practice being okay with it and knowing that that's part of this, and it gets easier. But we're so exposed as business owners. Everything we do, if we're doing something new, we're putting it out there for people to judge, respond to, talk about behind your back, all of the things. Like it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And like ultimately, the fear of failure is, for me, that was always the biggest driving. I'm like, what if this doesn't work? Like, I'm not just somebody who innately believes in myself. That's Judd.
Yeah.
You know, I have to more see the proof before I can start to build that confidence. So it's going to look different for everybody, but it's hard. We live in an area. I mean, what would it have been like to flower farm like 25 years ago when we didn't have social?
Yeah.
We didn't have all these things comparing. Would we have less information about what we're doing? I mean, the internet is such a great asset on one hand, and on the other hand, it could be so debilitating.
For sure.
Information overload, these ideas of these curated posts about the perfection, which I have curated posts on my page. Mm-hmm. I'm selling my dream too. You know, I'm selling the beauty of what we do. So we all do it, but it's hard. It's hard to navigate. And I think that's what we're going to kind of talk about today, because I think the number one thing is just recognizing it. How does it show up? And that's something that really resonated with me in the book too, is being able to identify it for yourself and then figure out how you're going to handle it. So it's tough.
Yeah. And I think fear too, it makes people feel like they're weak.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why am I feeling this way? Or I'm feeling like I'm, you know, I'm the only one that's doing this like comparison trap thing or whatever. You know, it's like, no, you're not. You're not. Like, every single person feels this in some capacity. And I think that is what is so important for us to talk about, because even the person that's out there and you're like, yeah, probably not them, because they're rolling in, you know, $1 million a year as a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. It's like, nope, guaranteed. They are still feeling it too, because they're constantly, if you are an entrepreneur or just a person, you're constantly bumping up against that comfort zone. And so when you hit that zone, that outside edge of that zone, it's a little bit of a shock. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everybody feels it. And I think it's really important for us to talk about it, because I think it's easy to look at us and go like, well, you know, we have a podcast, or we have, you could easily compare yourself to us. Mm-hmm. And just like for us just to be honest and say like, no, we still deal with the exact same things. It shows up for us in very different ways. And as we continue to grow and take on more in our businesses and challenge ourselves, we just constantly keep hitting that outer edge and that little electric fence edge of your comfort zone. So it's no different. But
I almost wish they could hear the 30 to 45 minutes before we record.
Yeah.
Because they tend to be full of like fear-based things. You know, it's us like not dumping on each other. That's the wrong word. But like, you know, talking to each other about what are we worried about? How can we troubleshoot this? What's different? This is what I'm noticing. You know, like, you know, Lindsay and I have that with each other. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, but really like our conversations, a lot of times, you know, we're just trying to work through it together.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have we said, is it going to be okay? Is this going to be okay?
Yeah. Yes. I said that today. I'm like, is this going to be, am I okay? I mean, I know I'm here. I put a neon hat on myself so I could find myself. I'm not sure where I'm at.
In case you actually lose your head.
Yeah.
There goes the Carhartt rolling down the hill.
Yeah. But even so this far in, and I just, and I've been thinking about this a lot, because we have a very unique business, because the beauty of it is that we can make it be what it needs to be for us. And we all have those different needs. But then there's the comparison piece that is hard, because all of our businesses look different. Yep. And we're going to talk about a lot of these different things, but what, and you really do have to, like, we say put your blinders on, but it's true. It's like, is your business working for you? Like, your business is never going to be an exact duplicate of mine or Lindsay's. Mm-hmm. And we're always trying to figure out how, where our businesses can go. Is it okay to, like, want to add new things to your 100%? But it's never, don't, can't expect it. You can't compare, because we're all doing what works best for us. And there's so many ways that it can look. Yeah. So it is hard. It's hard.
And social media is, like you said, it just, it floods you. It floods you with it. Yeah. So operating in a place of just, like, acknowledging it, because here's the thing, mm-hmm. the fear is never going to go away. You are never going to be able to banish it. It is here with you mm-hmm. always. So get cozy with it. Because you have to acknowledge it. You have to be able to acknowledge it, that it's there in all the different ways that this, we're going to talk about six different ways that it shows up for you. Mm-hmm. Be able to call it out and tell it, say, okay, you know, I think in the book, Jen says, have it take the passenger seat. But mm-hmm. I've had some annoying passengers in my car. I want it clear in the back. Okay. I want it in the back seat. So
it's there, but not there.
Yeah. Like, passenger, you're still, like, kind of critiquing my driving. Clear in the back. And if you don't shut up, you're going clear to the back and then to the, you know, the back part of my SUV. So, you know, that's like being able to just accept the fact that it's still there and then mm-hmm. learning how to move forward with it. So mm-hmm. one of the first symptoms, so we've talked about butterflies or sweaty palms or feeling yes. fear in that way. But another way that shows up is FOMO. And it's mm-hmm. not just fear of missing out. Jen talks about it in the book as a fear of missed opportunity. And yes. that really resonated with me.
Me too.
When she, that one, I was like, man, I feel that, because and what this could look like for you would be maybe that you open it up and you see that somebody opened up a flower shop right next to you, you know, and you have feelings of like, that should have been me. That should have been me, you know, or feeling like that your dreams aren't progressing fast enough, right? You would say, like, maybe you just started your flower farm and, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have a cooler yet, or you really want a high tunnel, or you know, you're seeing that so-and-so, your neighbor down the road, just put up a high tunnel, and you think, man, like, I'm missing the boat, or that should be me. And I think for me, it's like using it as a fuel, because what your fear, like whatever the fear is really trying to tell me is that I want that for myself. Mm-hmm. So what is it then, you know, looking at this and saying, if that comes up, it's like, well, do I want a flower shop? Do I want a retail space?
What? Why am I even feeling that?
Right. Like, or what is it? Dissect that thing. Yeah. So looking out and going like, oh, I really want that. Or what? So what is it specifically that you want? And then using that then as an action step to go like, okay, well, how do I get there then? You know, versus spending a whole lot of time and energy on staying in this place of missed opportunity.
Yeah. And I especially know this with children, but there's seasons of life. Okay. And what I don't want for you is that this FOMO robs you of enjoying the season of life that you are in. You know, when we first started our farm, we were in a season where we had three kids under three. I had three kids in diapers. That was our season of life. So my capacity was small. And I just remember being consumed like, oh, well, you know, and I really had to check myself. I got better over time, but I was like, well, I should be doing that, but I can't because I'm got three kids. You know, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just being honest with you. Would I change? Absolutely not. But those moments creep up, you know, where you're like, oh my gosh, if I just don't have enough time and I wish that was me, but I can't. But it's like, really encourage you, especially all the people who are doing out there with little people. It's like, you don't let it rob the fun of that season of life, because you're just constantly think that it's robbing you of missing out on things that you don't even know that you want.
Right.
You know, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to do that. And I think a lot of times it's like a gut reaction. And then if we really talk ourselves through it, we kind of realize that I don't even really want that anyways, you know, but it doesn't even matter.
At the time, it's like something shows up and you're like, maybe you're just in like a really tough spot, or you're like in the middle of winter and income's tight, like on a farm, if because right now money's tight, you know, and you're in the throes of winter stuff. And so maybe you're feeling it then. But fear is funny because it'll say to you, I think fear, let's just put it this way. I think it's like an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. Okay. Yes. And they show up at a very inopportune time and they just fill your head with a bunch of noise, thinking like a bunch of BS, thinking that you can't change. Or it'll say, oh, you don't have enough money to do that. You don't have enough time to do that. You're completely overwhelmed, you know, already. What are you trying to do? And fear wants to keep you in that comfort zone. They don't want you to get out to the edge to zap. It really wants to just keep you safe and keep you, you know, if you're thinking fear is my friend, it just wants to keep me safe. If you think of it from that place, then you know, like, oh, okay, well, thank you for letting me know that, but get clear in the back seat. I can keep myself safe. Let's just figure out how to get there, you know? Yeah. But I think when you can, you're constantly looking at it or coming up, fear just like gives you excuses that are not really, it makes excuses for you because it wants to keep you small and it wants to keep you safe. So
I couldn't agree more. It stinks. Oh, it's so hard to be in that. I've been there. And I think one thing that really helped me, especially when I was in that season where I felt like everyone was having all these opportunities, but I wasn't having as many, was I would kind of write down like what's important to me about my business? Like, what do I want my business to be? And for me, it was, I kind of needed it to be Monday through Friday, you know, or at the time when my kids were little, I'm like, I need it to be on Saturday. So that's, you know, you have to like, I can't run a retail spot now because I have young children and I still have another job. You know, am I ready to sign up for a 9-to-5 retail position every day? No, but it's like really saying, okay, you go back. That doesn't make sense for me. Like I'm trying to think of another good example, like succulents or something. There was a time when I was like, oh my gosh, someone's selling succulents at the farmer's market. That could make sense for me. I could propagate them. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? I don't want to mess with succulents and you know, but there's so many ways to do it. We're in a business. We're not just selling like one tchotchke. There's so many ways to do this. So I think just really figuring out what you want for your business and then making sure that the things that you are actually going for align with that. And then everything else is like, yeah, that's so good for them, but it doesn't make sense for me.
Yeah. You know? And when you get really clear on that, when you get clear on what you want, then it makes that noise just not so loud.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, okay, you can be dismissive of it. But if it's coming up, if you're like feeling this like, oh, jealousy or whatever, you can't stay fueled on that. You cannot fuel a business based off competing with somebody else. You cannot stay energized. It takes so much effort and energy to do that. So for you, just like running it through that check of like, is this really something that I want to go after? And then figuring out how to make that happen, keeping it quiet. Because fear, honestly, they're just a liar in a way, I guess. I think Jen even says that in the book. I think she calls it like it tells you lies because it wants to keep you safe. It wants to keep you small. So like listening to it and then just saying like, hey, thanks. No, thank you. I'm moving on. So,
yeah. Number two, comparisonitis, which honestly, social media is the biggest number one fueler of this, at least for me. Like, I should be running my company like this. My content, why they're doing reels and I should be doing that. Basically shooting yourself to death. I should be doing this, should be doing that. And it just kind of goes back to, you know, what we were saying before is that we're truly like everyone's on their own journey and everyone has their own, it really does like play into your own personality too. It's like sometimes, and it's good to go out of your comfort zone, but we hear this a lot in the insiders, like I'm uncomfortable either being in front of the camera or, you know, and so I can never do a reel. Well, doing a reel doesn't mean that you have to be dancing to the latest trendy song.
Right.
It doesn't mean that. You know, sometimes we like take it to extremes for ourselves. Well, you know, I can't do that. Well, I mean, there's an in-between there too where you're connecting with your audience but in a way that it includes video. You know, and it doesn't have to be you dancing or memorizing a dance or lip syncing to anything.
Yeah.
So like all those shoulds is just realizing that, hey, like we're all on different journeys and the more you compare to yourself, to others, it's like you're robbing yourself of your journey.
It is a theme,
you know, in so many ways. But that's one of the hardest ones to get to put aside, because our businesses, because it's so visual, it includes social media. I mean, in my opinion, it almost has to, because we have such a visual product. But then we're opening that up every time. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't do much scrolling on my social. I'm more just on there for business purposes.
Yeah.
Responding to people, interacting with other people who are doing like-minded things, and just maybe try to put some boundaries on that too, if this is one that particularly creeps up for you.
It's one for me that on a personal note, I tend to compare even with myself. Like, I almost use it as like a check-in for me to go like, okay, am I like where I should be? You know, that mm-hmm. whole that should thing again. And I have found that this is just a pattern for me. And it's something that I am very actively working on, where for me to just recognize that like I'm okay. I don't need to compare to somebody else as like a check-in to see like I've been in business this yeah. long. This is where my business should be. I should be to this point. It's like, well, that the should is just, you know, it's not helpful. I have to tell you a story. So did I tell you about when I was in the recovery room? Have I talked about this?
About the lady next door?
Yeah, the lady next to me. Did I tell you this? Did I say this on a podcast already?
No, I don't know.
Okay, I don't think I did. So when I had surgery and I was coming out of the anesthesia, and they sort of set the expectation about how long it was going to be, like an hour, okay? And so I did not do too well coming out of anesthesia. I am not one of those people that loves surgery. They exist. It was not me. And I was coming out of anesthesia and I was like very nauseous. And I said to the nurse, like, can I have some ice chips, you know? And they were asking me how I was doing, and I'm kind of like, not so great, very nauseous. And so they'd hit me with some more meds, and I remember staring at the clock ahead, like on the wall. I remember thinking like, I've definitely been in here more than an hour, you know? And so I started having this like, I'm not okay feeling. Mm-hmm. They set an expectation of when I should be seeing my family, and it's definitely not been that point. So in the meantime, if you've ever been in a recovery room, it's basically one huge room, and it's divided by sheets that are hanging off of the wall. And I hear this woman, we'll call her Rhonda, next to me and just carrying on, okay, talking about her surgery. And, you know, she had a double mastectomy, and this woman sounded like she was ready to go run a marathon, okay? And I'm sitting here going like, in my head, I'm going like, me too, except I can't lift my head off the table. So I look over, I like kind of like, well, not look, I like roll my head off to the side to my nurse, and I said, am I okay? And she said, yeah, you're okay. Are you okay? You know, I'm like, I don't know. And she said, why? And I said, this woman, you know, like I couldn't even form a sentence. I'm like, she's just so chatty, you know? And she said, oh yeah, she's okay. So fast forward, hours go by and I'm still in here. Old Rhonda is getting ready to start the race and still talking. And the new nurse came in and I said to her the same thing. I said, am I okay? And she said, yeah, why? And I said the same thing. I said, I can barely lift my head off the table. And here's this woman, you know, and she said, oh, she probably smokes, you know, they metabolize anesthesia differently. And she said to me, don't compare. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't compare.
Yeah. She said, don't compare yourself to other people. Oh. And I'm like laying there and I thought, oh my God, I'm doing it now. Like I'm literally, this pattern is still showing up for me. And that has stuck with me so much since that surgery. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like I am okay. I needed to check in with myself and go like, yeah, I'm okay. Feel like I'm going to vomit, but I'm good. But then it's like once I saw that pattern for me, I could see where it showed up in all these different areas of my life. Even I was talking with my business coach, and she said to me, I think you're comparing yourself even to a version of yourself you think you should be. Because I was talking about being that I have a lot of ideas and I tend to change a lot. And she said, I think that's your sweet spot. I think that's why people are attracted to you. You change your business up a lot. You love challenging yourself. You try on new things. You're not afraid to take risk. And I'm wanting to be this very like zen, calm, energy. And that's not me. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know what world I think that that person's going to exist. But her even saying that to me, and I said, oh my God, I'm comparing myself to myself. Like, so yeah. I say all this to say that, like, I sincerely resonate with mm-hmm. that. And it's mostly just a me needing to check in that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working and am working really hard to just, like, really put the blinders on and go, like, I get to be the person that decides if I'm okay, if I am where I, air quote, should be in my business mm-hmm. and in my life, not comparing it to somebody else. So mm-hmm.
it's hard because it's in our faces every day.
For sure.
It's like inescapable almost, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. that's a tough one.
So next one is yes. analysis paralysis. So this is a way that fear can show up as overthinking. Mm-hmm. And feeling stuck. And it's really just, when you boil it down, it's really just fear of failure, fear of, you know, doing something wrong. Because just indecision, if you're stuck in this analysis paralysis, this indecision spot, it's just a really sneaky way to keep you in your comfort zone. So that's how fear still shows up for you.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, you want to stay small. You want to, you know, keep processing it and keep processing it. She has a saying in there that she talks about it with perfectionism, but it's that better done than perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same way with, you know, I feel like analysis paralysis and perfectionism, which is one we're going to talk about here in a sec, kind of go hand in hand because you just want it to be perfect. A lot of times it's like, well, you really care about it and that's good. But like at some point you just have to mm-hmm. fire off and just do the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. It's holding
back. Doesn't have to be perfect. It is.
Yeah. We see it a lot in our live Zooms and stuff, you know, with the insiders. Overcomplication and analysis paralysis are like one and the same. And it's funny because we did a live in there in the Facebook group about crop planning. And I'm like, I told Judd before him and I, because him and I did it together. I'm like, the number one thing that I want to do is encourage them to keep it simple. Because with seed starting and crop planting, there are so many like little details of that you could just analysis paralysis, like every little detail. Do the seeds need light? Do they need dark? Do how many per cell? What cells? What kind of soil? I mean, it's just like constant. And with growing things, there's a lot of variables and it's hard. It's hard not to overanalyze every little thing. But I think it's good. It's analysis paralysis is when it becomes unhealthy.
It's good to care. When it stops you from doing it.
Yes.
That's where it sneaks
you're
in.
Like not doing it.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you can overwork that social mm-hmm. that social media post. Like, what am I going to put? You know, what's the right time to post it? What caption am I going to put? Do you like put a filter on it? And when you overthink all of that, what ends up happening a lot of the times is you just give up. You don't mm-hmm. do it.
Don't do it.
And then just mm-hmm. like, oh, whatever, come back to it or whatever. And then you don't. So.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times that we think it has to be this perfect thing, but it people resonate with imperfection. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to see from you. They don't want to see the perfect thing.
No, because we're all imperfect beings. And so when someone shows up and it's imperfect, you're like, mm-hmm. I resonate with that so much because that's real. People can sniff it out when it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, people know when it's not and when it is. And, you know, that's why people keep coming back a lot of the times is because they're connecting with you because you're being authentic or you're showing mm-hmm. your mess that's behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. So. I think like this analysis paralysis too is like the one thing that keeps people from growing flowers in a hobby way to growing in a commercial scenario where you have to sell them. Takes all the pressure off, you know, when you're just growing for a hobby, and there's that analysis piece. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if this fails? What if I can't sell my flowers? What if I walk into a florist and they say, no, I'm not interested? What if they do this? What this, that, and the other? How do I get them there? How am I going to load them up in my truck? Just be like, I mean, you could really overdo it. And that indecision is just, it's so harmful to your ego, to your self-worth, everything. Mm-hmm. It's just like constantly questioning yourself. It's like we're like living in this state of question. Like your brain is like going on with all these things. It's a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But there's no wrong decision. You have to make a dang decision and go with it.
Well, and then making those decisions, it gives you confidence. Like it gives you confidence to like, oh, okay, I did it, and maybe it didn't work exactly how you thought it was, and maybe it fall, maybe you fall flat on your face, but that's okay. It like gives you the confidence to know that you, one, can make a decision, and two, like most of the time it actually works out, sometimes better than what you thought it even would. So
I'm kind of experiencing this with a new farm too, because there's a lot of different things to do over there, and I just need to pull the trigger, make the calendar, and do the things, but it's very hard. And I'm like, well, what if this doesn't work over there? Well, this worked on my home farm, but will it work over there? It's a new place with different vibes, the whole thing. You know, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on, and I have, you know.
Yeah.
But at some point, I mean, I got to the point where I'm like, I'm putting this on my calendar that this needs to be done by this date, because I'm like overanalyzing every little thing. But something I had heard, I think in another podcast, but every decision or every failure is a data point. Okay. It's just something that tells you, gives you data on how to make the next decision better, work better for your customers, for you, everything. I think about how many times like we've done subscriptions and had it when we were first starting and it was small. We're constantly tweaking. That's part of the process. And I just have to be okay with it. It's hard. And then when you match like monetary investment, the stakes get a little bit higher, you know? So my indecision is going to cost me money. And that's a big deal. So I'm like, no, I like pep talk myself, you know? And this is where my Judd is really good. He's like, we need to make a decision and we need to go with it. We can always change it. We can add other dates to the calendar. It's not a thing that's like set in stone forever. But I mean, if it were up to me, even at this far, I wouldn't release the calendar until I like made sure I had flowers blooming over there, because it's scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, that goes into like I had somebody told me once I was trying to make a decision whether I was going to move back to Marietta. I went to Ohio State and then I moved away. I lived in Maryland. I was back in Columbus, and my life happened in such a way that I kind of needed to make a really big decision to move home. And I really didn't want to. I was resisting it wholeheartedly. And somebody told me, you can't make a wrong decision. You can just make a different one.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's actually really true. That if it does turn out to be something that like I didn't want to live here. I didn't want to be in Marietta. Then I could just move, just like I moved back to Marietta. You just make a different decision. And so, you know, it's a decision in itself, because some people even say before that like no decision is actually a decision, right? Like this place of indecision, you're still actually choosing to like not do the thing or whatever it is. But ultimately, you know, looking at that air quote wrong decision or whatever I was struggling with and reframing it is that like, I wouldn't have Wild Root if I hadn't moved home, like the way that that unfolded. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now, and you and I probably wouldn't even know each other. So you know, by staying stuck in those analysis paralysis, you miss out on so much opportunity for growth and change and connection and things in your life by just staying stuck in that area and listening to fear. You know, that voice being louder than you just saying like backseat kid, you know?
Yeah. We were kind of like in our own choose your own adventure books. Did you ever read those?
No.
Okay. So they're like the little chapter book. My kids like love them, but you read as you like read the story, and then it says, okay, if you want her to go left down the scary path, you turn to page 80.
Oh,
but if you want her to go off with the prince or whatever, go to page 60, but it's like choose your own adventure. But it is. It's like you never know what's awaiting on the other side of that decision. Yep. And the only thing that awaits on the other side of that decision, the knowledge to make the next best decision better.
Right.
You know, so we really need to stop doing that. I see that a lot in the newer growers and the insiders, and it still creeps up for us. Still, as we do new, bigger things. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not going to go away, but it's just figuring out how we can handle it and identify it best for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You and I are both fire ready aim girls with a lot of stuff.
100%.
What did I just say? Analysis paralysis is not something that. It's not one that I struggle with a lot, but it does still show up for me. Like sometimes I probably am like the opposite of that in some ways. I'm just like, let's do it. We'll figure it out. Let's just
make the decision and go.
It will work. And even with like, even with getting diagnosed with cancer, I really had that mentality a lot of times. Like I said, like, it's going to work out. I don't freaking know how, but it's going to work out. I mean, I don't know how many times I said that. I'm like, we'll figure it out. I don't know. Yeah. We'll figure it out. That in itself has been interesting too with me that I've had, it's made some people in my life uncomfortable, not my like close bubble of people, but like people have been like, you really need to take it easy. You need to, and I have, I really have been such a good patient, but I think that you can even be in a position when you're in a public position or you own a business that like you can, you get other people's fears put on you in a way that you have to sort of filter that out and go like, okay, I really just need to make sure I'm checking in with myself and doing like the thing that's going to take care of myself. But that's been an interesting sidebar of that. So all right, the next one.
Okay, so the analysis paralysis evil sister is perfectionism, and they do, I mean, they go very close together. Lindsay, you say you're a recovering perfectionist, right?
I do. I say
I am not. I'm not a perfectionist.
Just full, you're full blown perfectionist? Oh, you're not at all. Okay. No. You're like, I'm not in recovery.
Yeah. I have never been, I've just not, like, I'm not an over detail person. So I don't really like get lost in the teeny tiny details as much. Like Judd is really into that. That's why like anything that's like a little exhaustive learning, like as much as I love like all of our soil guests, I'm always like a little glazy eyed because I'm like, oh, because that's like a little more detail that I really like to get into.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't really struggle with this. To me, it's more analysis paralysis. But really, and in the book, you know, she said, hate perfectionism just means that you're a professional procrastinator.
Yeah. And I don't feel like I get hung up in the necessarily the details. My perfectionism comes in with perception. Like, I want the farm to be a particular way, and that's where, like, it can creep up for me. But I get – no, I get the same way with, like – I get in the weeds with – that's why books give me the cliff notes. Like, when he's an engineer, so he reads everything, like, front to back, and, you know, it makes him crazy because they put out standards, you know, production standards or something. He's like, if people would just read – I'm like – but if engineers would just give it to you with bullet points, I really think that you would have better results because that's me. I can't I get lost in that. But I think for me, give you an example. So for our farm to table dinners that show up, you know, they're paying almost $200 a ticket. It's a really big deal. It's our like the nicest workshop that we run for the year. And this year I ran out of steam with it. And I remember looking I was weed eating. Like I'd weed eat the farm, and I got to the back and I was hotter than hell. I was tired, and the back half of the farm still needed weed eated, and I ran out of string. And I remember looking at it and going, nobody is going to give two shits if my chicken is weed eated. And so I was like, I don't care, you know, like, I really don't care. And if she's critiquing my chicken coop, she got problems too, you know? Exactly. So I was like, whatever. So that's where my perfectionism can come in, is like to that level of detail with like the farm. And like, instead of looking around and going like, man, this place looks amazing, I'm seeing all the crabgrass that's gone to seed, you know, like that's just such a, that's where it comes up for me, where I'm like, better done than perfect. The saying that she says, you know, it's like, it to me, I'm like, it's done. The place is beautiful. And it does not matter that the chicken coop is not weed eated, because I cannot refill the string on that freaking wheel one more time. So,
anyway, it's tough.
So that's where it comes up. The next one. I think we've all felt this. I think the newbies are going to resonate with this too, but imposter syndrome is another way that it shows up. And so feeling like a fraud, I know I've felt this in many ways, even when I got asked to do like speaking engagements or when we started the podcast. Like, still sometimes I'm like,
who are we to tell people?
I know, when people tell us anything, they, like certain people will be like, they listen to the podcast, I'm like, oh dear, okay, well, hope you're getting something from us.
How's that going for you?
You learning anything? No. just here for the comic relief. Okay. But, you know, imposter syndrome, I've heard people say like, oh, I hate to even call it a flower farm. I just have a few rows of flowers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're selling it. You are doing it. And that's okay. Yeah. You know, or somebody who says like, oh, I angle my camera a certain way so you can't see certain things. It's like, that's fine. Who cares? We all do that. We all have trash piles, you know, and not feeling like you've made it or you've arrived or looking for some sort of like external validation that like you're doing the right thing or you're on the right path. I mean, that's is definitely something that I think comes up for everybody.
Yeah. So. I think in this one more than anything, we're so mean to ourselves.
For sure.
It's terrible.
We are.
It's terrible. We are. Judd will sometimes say, hey, like, would if you heard somebody talking like that to me or someone, you would be like completely appalled, you know, and we're just so like undercutting ourselves, undervaluing ourselves. You know, I don't deserve this. Who am I to do this? And we get it. And I think at the beginning stages of anything, it's going to feel like that because there is a fake it till you make it like component to what we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yep. Yeah. I remember when we first started, somebody was like, so have you ever grown anything?
A child?
Like what? Just a few.
A human. Like what more proof do you want?
What do you want from me? And I was like, well, you know, like, oh, so did you like grow up on a farm? No. And they're like, oh, so how did you learn all this? I don't know. I just learned. Learned by doing. And they're just like, huh, that's interesting. But it's hard, like that first farmer's market, that first, all of it. It's like, okay, now I'm here with everyone else doing this. But I think as time goes on, you get more comfortable in yourself and you start feeling like a part of that group. Mm-hmm. Like now I feel like I'm a part of the flower farming community. I hope that we're like creating a little community here for you too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just... Oh, God, just be nice to yourself.
I know.
Gosh.
I know. Terrible. Somebody told me, somebody was in my book club once, sent something that said, like, talk to yourself like you would talk to your dog. And at this point, this was a couple of years ago, and I had just gotten Hadley. Oh. And I'm like, that doesn't really, because I was calling her like a food motivated psycho. You know, I was like, you're a psycho. You know, she's like 10,
puppy stage.
10 week old puppy stage. You know, I was like, well, maybe we should try it like a couple months.
Give me a couple years on that. Yeah.
Because I was not. But yeah, we do. We're so hard on ourselves, and it is easier to see it. Somebody said to me once, like, you know, would you say that to your friend if that's what your friend called and said she was struggling with? You know, I was like, oh man, no, I wouldn't. No. I'm just not. I mean, and this is where it comes into. We talk about our Marigold episode where we, you know, surrounding yourself with good people that say that to you. They go, wow, dude, you are being really hard on yourself and having, you know, a partner or somebody in your life that's just like, wow, you could just maybe say that in a kinder way. And, you know, because it sure doesn't motivate you when you're talking to yourself in a really like toxic way. It keeps you small. Yeah. So
I think even by starting a business, you're doing more than like 80% of the other people when you look around. Mm-hmm. You're already doing killing better it. Than them. Yes.
Go you.
Like, wow, like I put myself out there. I did things that they would never dream of doing because they're too scared. Yeah. Because they like want to be in their little office job or whatever. Hey, no offense if you have an office job. For me, I was dying in mine. You know, so for me, it's like I'm doing more than what half of these people. And so as you like practice that, it'll get easier.
Yeah.
But it just takes time. And I think imposter syndrome, poof, that's one of those ones. At the beginning, that is just very hard, very, very hard.
Yep. And as you continue to grow, it's going to keep showing up for you.
Yeah.
Because if you're pushing yourself still out of your comfort zone, you're always going to put yourself in a position where you feel like an imposter with to what you're doing. Because, you know, I have some pretty big goals of things that I want to do with my career. And I already have those things that show up or those little voices in my head that say like, yeah, well, somebody's already done that. Or
so what? Like, I mean, we did this with the podcast too.
Right.
We did that. We're like, well, there's been other people who have had podcasts. Well, okay. You know, but I had to tell myself, exactly. And we're going to have our own unique twist on things. Like Lindsay and I do things different in our farms. That's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's tough. And it's okay to have these big dreams. And every time the dream gets bigger for you or you reach that goal, it's going to be a new level, new devil. You know, you're moving up and then you're have imposter syndrome all over again because you're in a new group, you know, mm-hmm. and you feel like you don't even know how you got there, but somehow you did.
Right.
And it's a lot.
Yep. There's been so many mic drop moments in this. I love that new level, new devil thing you said.
Oh, yeah. New level. That
should be a sticker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Add that to our sticker list.
That's right. So, all right. The last one is disease to please.
Yes. I'm very infected by this disease. It's going to be my dying. It's going to be on my gravestone. Disease to please.
No. We got to. No.
Pretty we'll much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one's tough. So playing down our accomplishments because you don't want other people to feel uncomfortable, just being a people pleaser. How many times have we heard on the insiders, well, you know, it's just a little thing. You know, I'm just doing a little thing, you know, and other people will like to cut you down by saying that too. Like, how's your little thing going? I always hate that.
Your garden.
How's your garden? I'm like, Excuse you. How's your little thing? You know, that thing you were doing? But I used to let that stuff really hurt my feelings. I've gotten tougher over time. But I would constantly play down the farm. I wouldn't even mention it. If someone says, oh, you know, what have you been up to? Oh, just working and raising kids. I wouldn't even mention it. And Judd's like, I think you left something out. I just like didn't want to talk about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like part of it comes from like not wanting to brag about yourself. It's like it's hard to talk about yourself sometimes, but people pleasing is hard, and it creeps up in your business in lots of different ways. It'll definitely creep up when you're just trying to make everybody happy in your business. And as far as customer goes, that's pretty tough too. That's a tough one.
Well, you know, when you're when you are in your spotlight and you're shining and you are just like in the freaking zone, that inspires other people to do the same thing. Like we think like, oh, I don't want them to sound like I'm bragging.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to. But when you see it, it's same for me. Like I see people that just are electric and I'm like, yep, that's the energy I'm attracted to. Like that is what I am attracted to as a human. And, you know, when you can find a friend that jives with that and lines up, then that's the gold, you know, because you can continue to inspire each other and keep you on track, you know? And, but yeah, it's like, we don't want to talk about what we've accomplished because it sounds braggy or just people pleasing and folding over. It just ultimately hurts you in the long run, you know?
Yeah.
It's the people pleasing.
That's a tough one too.
Yeah.
But that I think that's going to be on my gravestone. Side of
people pleasing.
No.
Died for somebody else. Oh, no. We got to work on it. There's a meeting called codependency. It's called CODA. You need to look it up. You get your ass to it. Get you there. Keep you straight. Yeah. But I mean, I think the things for us, just to sort of like wrap this up. So like we've named all these things how do you take action? You know, how do you combat this? Because the first step with any of this though is just acknowledging it and saying like, oh, this showed up for me again, you know, or I'm comparing myself, or, you know, I really find myself people pleasing, wanting to say yes to everybody in my business. And you're really the only one that's going to suffer, not the people all around you that are. So like acknowledging what it is and saying like, okay, that's actually just fear. And then looking at how can you spin it. So pushing that fear, like we've said, the passenger seat, whatever, clear to the back seat. Mm-hmm. And then giving that fear specific instructions like, listen, I hear you. Thank you. I appreciate you trying to keep me safe, but I have a plan and this is what you're going to do. You know, looking at what's underneath of that fear, what's motivating you? Why do you have that? Do you want what they have? And then taking the action steps to get there. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, just acknowledging that the fear is just always going to be there, and it is. Every single time, it's an opportunity for you to have growth and grow as a human being, have more meaningful connections and a more fulfilling life, and not feeling stuck you know, where you're at and letting fear win, because it's loud. It is a loud, obnoxious ex-boyfriend in your ear telling you that you're going to fail. And all of those things. So,
and I think the only thing worse that even than facing your fears is getting to 2025 and you didn't do anything.
Right.
That, I tell you what, the only crappier feeling than being fearful is getting to a point and you'll be like, wow, like I missed out because I was being so hard on myself, or I was being paralyzed by fear of failure or fear of looking stupid or fear of this not working or this not going the way that I had planned it, as opposed to like this perfect picture of how it was supposed to go. Like, and oftentimes we're comparing ourselves to like these perfect images, and it, when it doesn't add up to that, we're like, well, yep. So there's just another reason why, you know, I'm not going to do it. And it's just like, you're just really missing out on so much when you are not feeling worthy of what it is that you deserve. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already doing better than everybody else because you are trying to better yourself. Isn't that part of what we do? You know, that's why I love podcasts, because I'm like always hearing little things. And I think just even just being a person who's constantly looking to better yourself is learning how to put that fear right next to you and being like, hey, this is always going to be here. And every time you take action, despite it, it's going to get easier.
Yeah.
It's going to be part of your personality that that's what you do.
Yeah. And it's not even going to be a conscious thought. It just becomes like a natural thing. You're just like, okay, I did that last time. And you lean into it. I think successful people lean into their fear. They don't expect it to go away. You just embrace that it's going to be there. I mean, when we did Flower Fest and when you do those first big workshops or something that you're like expecting a big turnout, there's a lot of pressure that in fear that's riding on a particular thing, but you just embrace it and go like, yep, it's still going to be here, but I'm still going to do it. And then like you said, every time you're just dropping a coin into that, like I'm a badass bank account and by, you know, you're just continuing to add to that and it just gains your confidence. So thank it, embrace it, be grateful that it's there because it's telling you what you want. So, and I think I said it, but it was like, you know, fear, the fact that you care so much about these things, it just, or you have that fear, it just means that you care about what you're doing and you're invested. And so just be like, all right, it's here. I got to deal with it. It just shows up different ways for everybody. Yeah. So
I heard something and said that no matter what stage you're in, there's always somebody who wishes they were you.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think, oh, this is insignificant, or oh, you know, I'm just doing this little thing. Well, there's someone who's done nothing and looks at your little thing like it's a big thing, you know? So I'm trying to, as I move forward, as like as the business grows and stuff, trying to see like, how am I encouraging other people? How am I being a light to other people through the things that I'm doing? And if I was constantly saying no to myself, if I was living in fear, not doing these things, I think about all the people that I wouldn't have affected, even this podcast.
Right.
You know, if we wouldn't have done it, if we never would have hit play because we felt silly or that, you know, no one would connect with us, then we wouldn't have this amazing group of people who are supporting each other. We've had people make friends in the Insiders, their own Marigold friends. Like, we all would have missed out on all this. And sometimes is it hard? Yeah. But we love doing it. And I'm really trying to look at that, you know, as I get more comfortable with my business too. It's like, how am I being a light to others? And if I don't take this action, then they might be missing out on that too. So it's tough. It is one of those things. But okay, I hope everybody feels so energized to kick fear in the butt. Is that we're just letting it hang out.
Yeah.
But we're not paying much attention.
You kick it in the butt, but clear it in the back. Yeah, you just embrace it. Just make friends with it because it's not going away.
Right. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode. If you're new around here, hi, welcome. We are so glad you found us. We have an insiders group, a group of amazing Marigolds, and we've talked about them a lot in this episode particularly because they deal with a lot of these things right alongside us. And maybe you've been on the fence about joining, so we would love you to sign up and join us. We're adding new content to the content library on our website. We're talking growing tips and tricks, weddings, efficiencies, marketing, all of our guests. If we have a guest on, we typically do an extra with them so we can dive deeper in a particular topic. And you guys, it's only $20 a month. You can cancel at any time if you feel like it's not right for you, but I promise you are going to love the community and the information that you get from this group. Plus, you get a live Zoom once a month where you submit your questions about a certain topic and we dive deeper with you. And it really gives that amazing opportunity for you to get your specific questions answered. Okay, guys, don't forget at Instagram, that's where we hang out, at Dirt on Flowers. Drop us a comment, a message. Tell us what you want to hear more of. Every Sunday, we're putting a little box up for you guys to tell us what you're struggling with. And that really does help us mold the content so that it is something that serves you where you're at right now. Thank you so much for being here. We hope you loved today's episode as much as we loved recording it. And as always, we'll see you at the same time, same place next week.